All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, October 6th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a two-game MLB playoff slate tonight, as well as some Monday night football action. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. Quick announcement, we will only be having office hours Monday through Thursday of this week. So just so you guys know, that is the schedule. But I will remind everybody as the week goes on, got the two-game playoff slate pulled up here. And a couple of questions came in prior to the show, so we will start with those and then kind of see where we go from there. So first question, this one actually came in yesterday. I did get the user an answer just because slate was approaching, but did want to cover it here as well. So the question was, when playing a heads-up cash game for the main slate NFL, what is the best build to use? Should I use the optimizer? Good question. So first off, you know, for building cash, you basically don't want to sacrifice projected score. So the way you do that, or, you know, kind of change your strategy, is switching your build mode in the settings from sim to optimizer. Optimizer is going to find the highest mathematically possible projected lineup and then give you that lineup as your first one, and then the second highest projected possible, and then third, and then fourth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Sim mode is randomly sampling the sims and just grabbing some and then using the outcomes from those sims, right? So very, very different in that regard. So for heads up cash games like you're talking about, I would recommend using build mode optimizer. The other thing I would recommend doing is in your group, right? When you actually, you know, build your lineup, you get a group, switch this diversity to uniques one and then change the rank by to projected score. Okay, those are the other things that you have to do here when optimizing for cash. Those are the big ones. Did want to mention, you know, I do think that you can streamline this process a little bit, right? You don't have to come in here every single time, change these, right? What you could do is you could set up a template for this, right? Like, okay, hey, this is going to be for my cash games, right? And maybe I want to put all of my cash contests in one group. And then I just by default, right, switch diversity to uniques one, change rank by to projected score. I still have to add my requirement here. So what I would say is, hey, type is cash, right? Or if it's like for head-to-heads, right, I could say, or maybe it comes through as like a custom head-to-head or something, right? I could say, okay, or entrance equals two. You know, these are different ways of like capturing those cash contests, right? Like, okay, hey, maybe I'm playing like some double ups or coming through as cash. I want those as part of this. Maybe I'm playing some head-to-heads. I want those as part of this. So it'll be a 1v1 contest, so two total entrants, right? You can kind of customize this and just continue to add requirements until you capture all of the contests that you're hoping to include here. And then the next time you either open a build or next time you do another slate, well, guess what? Your cash contests are going to get created automatically. They'll be set to your rank by automatically, and you won't have to redo that process over and over and over again. So I would look into setting up some type of template to help you dial in and streamline your cash process there. All right, good one there. Next question, what are your thoughts on running multiple builds and combining them together to get a pool of 5K non-negative lineups? I have a way to combine and dedupe lineups that are just as fast as running a build. Do you think this adds value to curate a player pool? Good question. So I think that this is probably a good strategy. And the reason I think that is because, you know, take like an NFL main slate, for example, right? There are probably millions of lineups you can create. It's going to be tens of thousands of positive EV lineups, potentially hundreds of thousands of positive EV lineups. Not like 100% on that, but I think that it's closer to right than it is to wrong. And, you know, if you're running a build of 5,000 lineups, right, that's such like a small kind of portion of like overall lineups that can be generated. So if you want to, you know, run, say, two builds, right, and maybe each build has, you know, 2,500 positive ROI lineups for a simple example, right, and you'd rather combine those into one build, I think that's an okay thing to do, right? If you have the means to combine them, get rid of any duplicates, and do it in a, you know, amount of time that you're comfortable with, right? Maybe it takes you a while and you're okay with that, right? I don't want to say it has to be fast. It doesn't. Just needs to be as fast as you need it to be. If you can do that pretty seamlessly, upload it back to the site, I think that's totally cool. So that's what I would recommend with regard to that question, but good question for sure. And keeping it rolling here. So those were two questions that came in prior to the show. Gives us an opportunity to run some builds here. So I'm going to build for this two-game MLB slate coming up here in about 2 hours. Looks like first sets of lineups are out for the first two teams on the slate, or first game, rather, right? Okay. So maybe I want to come in here and, you know, just kind of, I always say like get a feel for the slate, right? What's it looking like, et cetera. I have these like small filters on that just get rid of like some of the lower projected guys. Arthur Ashby's kind of interesting, right? He's the expected starter for, well, he's going to start for Milwaukee. I was looking at this a little bit earlier. Ashby threw 16 pitches in game one, expected to go about like one time through the order, something like that. It probably depends on, you know, how smooth things go. Sometimes, right, they'll let somebody come out and they'll be like, okay, say it again. It's like maybe, you know, one time through the order and then he gets a shot, you know, say the fourth inning, right, to come out. And if he pitches well, great. If he doesn't pitch well or gives up a hit or a walk, they probably pull him, right? There's kind of all those type of scenarios. I don't know if I want to keep him in the pool or not. I'm kind of leading no. You know, I think that there's something with regard to like openers, right? They don't really have like the upside, you know, take even like, take like a Lizardo or Snell, right? Like, okay. Yeah. You know, their innings pitched here about like five and a half, something like that. Well, like if these guys are throwing a no hitter and these guys are like cruising, right. They could go nine innings, you know, they could very realistically go like the whole distance here. Even if Ashby gives up no hits in three innings, like, hey buddy, like, you did your job. Good job. You're out. You know what I mean? And so I think that sometimes openers kind of lack like the upside that you're looking for in DFS lineups. So I'm actually leaning more to remove him than I am to go with him here. Seems like we're Quinn Priester is like expected to kind of follow, right? Similar kind of innings pitch, maybe even like a little bit longer. I think it's okay. Been used as a long reliever like a lot this year, if you're like familiar with how this team kind of operates. I know Imanaga they had somebody open in front of him last game. It doesn't seem like that's the case this time, but I do know that happened, I think, against the Padres, but doesn't look to be the case here. So again, just kind of dissecting this, analyzing it, projections kind of follow here, right? Like two like true starters, and then a couple other guys that may or may not have an opener. I don't think Imanaga will unless they change something, but he did his last start, right? So I would expect SaberSim to give us way more of like the top two pitchers overall, but like we can obviously test that theory here in a minute. Anyways, just breaking down the slate a little bit. Right, so we're going to switch back to sim mode. We're just going to run 1,500 lineups here. Notice our min-max salary range is kind of wide. It is a two-game slate, so it's much more likely that you're going to find good lineups even while leaving salary on the team. And we're just letting this build run. All right, build ran. Sim is running now. We'll just go with 20 lineups. I'm actually going to switch this from the unique's projected score that we ran earlier over to portfolio, which I preferred sorting metric for GPPs. Looks like my lineups went away, so I'm going to put this back to 20. Diversify. And I'm going to open up the expanded view here, just my preference. Okay, cool. So portfolio ran, we got our 20 lineups here, sort by exposure. So things are kind of going exactly in the direction that we expected here, right? A lot of Snell and Lozardo, 85%. And then a couple shots here, right, on Imanaga and Priester, kind of in line with their ownership, right? 12% owned Imanaga, we have 10%, 9% owned Priester, we have 5%, not too far off there, right? Are getting our highest leverage here is obviously Snell. I think that makes sense with his value, with his projection, right? So all that makes sense to me. Okay, we go over to batters and seeing most, well, basically everybody except the Phillies, right? Seeing Dodgers, some Cubs, some Milwaukee. I think that goes in line, right? Like, hey, we're going to take shots on all of these other teams where we're not jamming the pitcher, right? Because we're hammering Snell. So he has like win bonus equity. We don't really want to play Phillies. We're just going with the overall assumption that, okay, we think Snell's going to pitch well. And then we don't know which of these teams are going to be good. So we're going to get a little exposure from all three. That's basically how I would summarize the game script that I'm seeing. Good news is I'm still seeing high stacks, right? Every lineup has at least a four stack and a two stack rather. So at least a four stack, at least a two man stack beside it. Yeah. Low on the Phillies here. This 30% are probably, you know, obviously opposite of Snell. So like where we're playing Lozardo or Priester or Imanaga, right? It's coming from like that batch, but all things considered, feeling pretty comfortable with my lineups. Now, let's say that, you know, I come in here and I look at this. I'm like, I really don't like, you know, Tommy Edman at 60%. I kind of want to lower it. Okay, you know, well, maybe I lower it to, you know, the next highest exposed batter of like 45, and then we can like match this, right? Okay, so I'm going to lower him and make one adjustment, just kind of fine-tuning things, risk management up to, you know, my comfort level. So we're going to set this. We're going to let this re-diversify. And the builder does. Now we have two players at 45% exposure. So that's great. So we've made, you know, one adjustment here, right? We've looked at this and we're like, I want to, you know, just do this like one thing. It'll make me feel a little bit more comfortable with the lineups that I'm submitting, right? So that feels good. Still pretty similar with our pitchers. So, you know, just good to like double back, make sure that your change doesn't, you know, kind of have a cascade effect and change a bunch of other things that you weren't really expecting it to here, right? So I think that could be important. But overall, we made our one adjustment here. We verified everything. Really happy with the lineups that we're seeing. And at this point, I would be ready to save these and upload them to my contest. All right. Good stuff there. Since we're still hanging out here, why don't we pull up the NFL slate for tonight. So we got a showdown between the Chiefs and Jaguars today. Gonna hop over to DK for this one. Cool. So building some showdown lineups. And not going to do too much up front here. I actually like to open up min salary a little bit here. Let's make it like a little bit lower, give the builder a little bit more wiggle room. Going to run with build mode on sim, 0-10 sliders here. And I'm just going to make my two adjustments, two projections. I'm actually going to create a manual group here. And I'm all set, right? So there obviously are other things that you can do, right? You can lower max salary. You can set like a geo mean rule, you know, all those type of things. I'm just going to kind of roll with this as is. All right. So lineups ran great. Contest sim is running. And then as soon as the contest sim is finished, we will diversify. Diversifier is running. Going to come in here, sort by exposures. Perfect. So what are we seeing, right? Well, we are seeing Mahomes captain by far the, one most popular, right? He's almost 30% owned. We're actually going twice the field on that at 60%. So SaberSim is in agreement that like Mahomes captain is like a really, really good play here. His projection is just much higher than anybody else kind of in his salary range. So he just grades out as such a good captain, probably based on his projection here, which is totally fine. All right, cool. So we took a look here and notice that our captains are all the top four projected players. So we're getting like good sound lineups, in my opinion. That's just like a good indication. And then we come in here. Okay, we go into our flex. And what are we doing here, right? Well, we're getting Trevor Lawrence on the other side. Looks like we're paying down with Deami Brown, very, very going to looks like a popular pay down option at 2K salary. Okay. Getting some kickers in here, some strange in here. And then some of these cheaper kind of like running backs from the Chiefs and stuff. Just kind of trying to get a sense of what we're doing, right? Okay. Mahomes captain, Trevor Lawrence on the other side, some cheap pass catchers and you know, maybe like one pay up option, right? Kelce Worthy, something like that. So kind of even here on Etienne, but these are just things I'm seeing, just kind of describing them as I'm going. Good question in the middle of this. Can you explain what the leverage means as well as how it works into your strategy? Also the 25th and 50th. Yeah. So I'll start with the 25th and 50th first. So these are the line. These are player percentiles. Basically, like when I pull up a player, I click on them. And then this is like a graph describing how many fantasy points they scored in the Sims and how often. So like if I hover over a bar here, it's saying, okay, hey, Trevor Lawrence, or I'll just do this one because it's like about 10 points. He scores 10 points about 11% of the time. He scores 20 points about 10%. He scores 30 points about 1% of the time, right? So this is just like kind of a visualization. But for like for more granular kind of analysis, right? These percentiles also describe that. So what we're saying here is that, hey, 1% of the time, Lawrence is scoring 34 points. 5% of the time, he's scoring 27.7. 15% of the time, he's scoring 22.3. And you kind of work your way backwards. So the 50th percentile projection is his median projection. It's like the one exactly in the middle. What you see in the my projection column is his mean. These things can be a little bit different depending on somebody's kind of upside. Now, good follow-up to this question. Will that graph adjust with our custom projections? So visually, no, but it will account for your adjustment behind the scenes. So like, let's say Lawrence's base was 16, right? Okay, well, let's say your custom puts him at 18, right? We're just going to use whole numbers here. Basically, what you're doing is you're raising his floor by 2 points, and you're also raising his ceiling by 2 points. So when he scores 10.5 in SaberSim, he now scores 12.5. When he scores 34, he now scores 36. So what we do is we keep the same like the same graph, the same distribution, but we shift it over based on what your new mean is. So that's how that interacts. And then as far as leverage goes, leverage, if you like hover over leverage, it'll actually have a little pop-up message. It says, shows your leverage on the field by calculating your exposure to a player minus projected ownership to that player. So what we're doing here is we're taking the exposure, 65%. We're minusing the player's ownership that we're expecting them to have in the contest, when in this case, 54.16. And then the leverage is showing 10.8. So it's saying, hey, on average, your lineups have more Trevor Lawrence than we expect the field's lineups to have, or like the average user to have, right? We're expecting him to be in, you know, 54% of lineups, but in your set of 20, he's in 65%. So that's what leverage is doing. Leverage is a very good indicator and something I look at a lot, right? I want to know, hey, what players am I taking a stand on? Do I agree with these stands? Do I think these stands are too big, right? We were just kind of talking about that with like the Tommy Edman example. I'm like, maybe this is just like a little too much risk, right? I was looking at his leverage, comparing his exposure and his ownership, right? Also sorting leverage high to low, it's good to sort the opposite, right? Low to high. It's good to look at what players are you taking a stand against, right? Here I'm taking a stand against Mahomes flex, but you kind of got to pair this with the fact that you're taking a stand on Mahomes captain, right? So like, okay, well, he just can't go into as many lineups in the flex if I'm putting him into the captain, right? So like, that's kind of okay. But you might just like see that and be like, whoa, what's happening here? And you kind of got to work your way into making some sense of it, right? So that's what's going on here with regard to like leverage. So very, very important thing to be aware of. So anyways, you know, kind of basically like once you kind of analyze these, make your adjustments, you know, that's what the min-max exposure columns are here for. Kind of the same thing as baseball, right? You're going to analyze this. You're going to use, you know, these different data points. We have some aggregate metrics up for our group, right? Projection, ROI. If we make adjustments, you just want to make sure that we're not, you know, drastically hindering these things. If your projection goes from 84 to 79, it's like, whoa, hold on. You know, you might have made too drastic of a change, you might want to go back and make a smaller change, right? But all of this is just kind of dialing it in, personalizing it, making sure that regardless of what happens, you're comfortable with the lineups that you submit. And when you're happy with that, you know, you should be ready to save. But that was an MLB FanDuel demo and a DraftKings NFL Showdown demo. We knocked out all these questions. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.